Hi, friends. Welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. We're back to a solo episode this week for Principle 4 of Intuitive Eating, as well as for Principle 5. So you have to listen to just my voice for the next two episodes, but never fear, we will be back with another guest next week for Principle 6. And I don't know about you, but I loved the conversation that I had in our last episode with dietitian Mackenzie Caldwell, and we were talking about making peace with food. These conversations are so helpful for me because they always seem to prompt little tangents that I wouldn't have likely thought to talk about in my own solo episodes. And I've also been working diligently interviewing and scheduling interviews with other guests, so you have that to look forward to in the future. And I've already shared sneak peeks of who some of those guests are already on my Instagram. So, hint, hint, if you want to be in the know on who some of those guests might be, or if you want to slide into my DMs and let me know who you think I should have on my podcast, open up your Instagram app right now and follow me @spillingthebeans_nutrition, and that will help keep you in the loop. Some other housekeeping before we jump into this week's topic. I wanted to keep along with my past trend of providing journal prompts to go along with each of the episodes. I happened to realize that after the episode 9 with Mackenzie went live that I never included the prompts. So, better late than never, and I thought I would include them this week. And if you need a refresher on last week's topic, I'll link episode 9 in the episode description and in the show notes so you can go back and listen. So here are the journal prompts for Principle 3, Make Peace with Food. Number 1, make a list of all the foods you currently consider off limits or quote unquote bad. Categorize them by types of food if this helps you more easily identify them. 2, what are some of the fears you have about giving up food rules and giving yourself unconditional permission to eat all foods? This week, I just decided to do those 2 prompts, and then we'll go ahead and do 3 prompts this week to kind of make up for lost time. And don't worry if you didn't have a chance to pause or write all of these down, no problem. You can always head on over to my website, spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast, and you will find these prompts added to the link for Principle 3. All right, on to new business. This week, we're going to be moving on to Principle 4, Challenge the Food Police. In this episode, we will discuss what is meant by the food police, what some of the common messages diet culture tells us, and how you can start to silence your own food police. In our last episode on intuitive eating, we discussed the importance of making peace with food and also some strategies to begin that process. But chances are that you still may have some of these underlying rules that you maintain regarding food. It's not like this is just going to change overnight, as I've mentioned many episodes before. That's really normal at this stage. As we explored in the first 3 principles, your mindset isn't going to change overnight, and you're likely going to be working against years of this ingrained restrictive eating rules. In fact, a lot of this could be stemming from your childhood, and I'd be really surprised if a lot of this didn't start in your childhood. However, today's episode is all about challenging your inner voice that defines foods as good or bad, or a lot of that black and white thinking that we hear today. When I hear the term food police, I often get the impression that people think dietitians are the food police. And to be perfectly honest, I kind of get it. We do have diet in our job title after all. And I also think it's really important that we as dietitians are really cognizant of the fact that we can sometimes come across as the food police if we're not careful and nuanced in our conversations about food. But that could be a whole different conversation. We've already talked about how our world at large has created what we call diet culture. And often what I find is that we are stuck in this diet cycle that we've already talked about, and we become our own worst critics based on the messaging that we keep repeating to ourselves. So let me ask you a question, and this may be pretty easy to answer for you, and I can about imagine what your answer is. And the question is, have you ever categorized food as good or bad? Maybe you've labeled your favorite chocolate dessert as sinful or told yourself that you can't eat after a certain hour of the day. So if you're getting the gist, this is the internal dialogue in your head that acts as the food police. And it leaves you feeling guilty for even just taking a bite of your favorite food. I know when I think about this, I can pinpoint so many different points in my own life where I've had this inner food critic or inner food police. Call it whatever you will. When I work with clients with clinical eating disorders, we often give a name to these thoughts. Sometimes we'll call it the eating disorder voice, and then I'll also talk about how we have a healthy voice. And these aren't things that I personally made up. This comes from the 8 Keys to Recovery from an Eating Disorder, which is written by Carolyn Costin. And I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes because it's an excellent workbook and book. But if you've never personally had an eating disorder, it can sometimes be difficult to understand what that inner dialogue might be like. So imagine with me for a moment. You're sitting in a room and you have the television on loud. In the corner, your dog is barking and you are working on homework for a college class and now your phone is ringing. It's making me a little anxious thinking of this scenario, to be honest, because there's so much noise going on and it's pretty chaotic, right? This might be how I'd describe the constant dialogue in someone's head when they struggle with an eating disorder. So your thoughts might be racing from, okay, my dietitian says I need to have a snack in the afternoon, but I'm not sure what I should do. I know I'm not supposed to think about calories, but if I have this granola bar, then I've had too many carbs today, and then I will have to cut down on my dinner, and then I'll have to exercise more later. So I might as well just skip the snack, but then my dietitian will be mad at me. Wow, that's a lot. Can you see how this kind of dialogue can be exhausting? Principle 4, challenge the food police, always reminds me of this inner dialogue that is often associated with eating disorders. And let me tell you this, you certainly don't have to be diagnosed with an eating disorder to experience these thoughts. So in order to be at peace with food, we need to stand up to this food police. And it's time to think about the foods in a neutral light instead of in this charged light of good or bad. Eating a certain food doesn't make us good or bad, and eating one specific food also won't make you gain or lose weight or jeopardize your health. The morality of food language is something I talked about in detail in one of my blog posts, and I think it's also something we may want to circle back and bring onto the podcast as a subject in and of itself as well. But for the time being, I definitely will link to that blog post. It's one of my first blog posts I ever wrote back in 2017. And one of the first steps to take in confronting the food police is, first of all, identifying what your current food beliefs are. Here are some examples to get you thinking. These are common examples I hear, such as carbs are bad for me, I'll gain weight if I eat dessert, I'm not allowed to eat after 6 p.m., fat will make me fat, and gluten is bad for me. So we often hear statements like these from the media, celebrities, friends, family members, and even our local gyms. It's not like we were just born with these beliefs about eating. Rather, we've internalized these messages and many others over time due to the diet culture environment that we live in. So bringing non-judgmental awareness to our thoughts and then countering them with facts can help you move to a place of peace with food. Now, of course, there's also a lot of nuance beyond this, and just having the facts isn't always going to be the answer. And we're going to talk a bit more about that when I interview Tracy Brown, when we talk about principle number 7, which is coming up. But for the time being, we're just going to take a simplified approach and break it down and challenge those thoughts with some facts. One of the first things I often ask people to do is to make a list of some of their beliefs that they have about food. So this is a nice segue from what we talked about last week with the previous principle. because it's pretty hard to address our inner dialogue until we actually know what that inner dialogue is. So it may take some reflecting. And of course, as I already prefaced, I will have some journal prompts for you at the end of this episode. And if you haven't already picked up on this, I can't share everything about intuitive eating in these episodes, so I would highly recommend picking up a copy of the book, or if you're able to, I know things are a little crazy right now with COVID-19 and maybe library access isn't attainable, but you could also check it out at the library if that is a feasible idea. I also would recommend the workbook. That's going to give you more journal ideas than what I have given you here. Once we realize our recurring thoughts, we can begin to use a method called cognitive behavioral therapy to reframe them. Now, I want to also mention, I am not a therapist. I am not an expert on cognitive behavioral therapy. And as a disclaimer, I always recommend taking a personalized approach. If you're able to see a therapist, I highly recommend working through some of this with them. And then also, if you can see a dietitian, you're going to get a great personalized approach in addressing this. But for the sake of learning in this episode, let's just take a look at the following example. So first, we're going to take a look at what your thought is. So I'm going to label this as an unreasonable thought. This is the cognitive distortion. So for this example, we're going to say, I should never eat carbs, especially pasta and bread. So what I might want to do as a response to this, begin to ask myself some questions and challenge that thought. So I might ask, is it really realistic for me or enjoyable to eliminate carbs? Okay. Then I might ask, how do I feel when I don't eat carbs? I know what my answer would be right away. Do I tend to crave carbs more when I take them out of my diet? This goes back to some of the past principles we've talked about. And don't carbs play a role in my body's daily functions? So I might take some time to reflect on those thoughts if I have the time, and I might come to a conclusion where I'm able to reframe that thought. So instead, I might tell myself, whenever I have eliminated carbs in the past, I have felt tired and I don't have the energy to do the activities that I enjoy each day. Therefore, it's not sustainable or enjoyable for me to eliminate carbs from my daily diet. Now, obviously, this is just one example and I've simplified it. When you're feeling anxious and you have a lot of thoughts coming at you at once, it's going to be a bit more challenging. But if you can take some time to write out some of these thoughts, like I'll challenge you to do in the journal activities this week, that might help you just to get into that more automatic reaction when you see these thoughts arise. Once you've begun to reframe your thoughts as they come up, you can then reflect on the result. So for this example, perhaps you found that you're more focused in class or at work and you have more energy to go to the gym after dinner, you know, when we're able to go to the gym again. And maybe you learned that you don't binge on foods now that they are no longer off limits. So find ways in your day to challenge that inner food critic. This might overflow into other thoughts of your life. Maybe make it a goal each day to examine one of those thoughts, or if you want it to happen more organically for you. And this might entail sitting down and journaling about your dieting history and some of your distorted views about food that you have. You might also want to consider exploring how your relationship with food varies when you're around certain people. Perhaps when you're in a particular friend group, you feel a certain way about food or you feel judged. I find this to be true particularly with families. For example, I often will talk with clients about when they go back to an environment such as their hometown or their families after they've lived on their own for a period of time. This environment can be triggering to some of those old food police thoughts, whether it's ones they have internally, or it can be as obvious as your family members, say a sibling, a parent, grandparent, being a food police to you and actually policing your food choices. If you think back to when you were a child, whether our parents intended to or not, they maybe made comments about our food, such as don't have any more dessert or don't eat this and that. So while we mostly focused in this episode specifically on our own inner food police, of course, we could go on for hours, if not days, talking about all of the outer food police as well. So hopefully I can plant that seed with you in this episode. You can start looking within at the thoughts that you currently have about food, about your body image, about physical activity. Start looking at that, and then you can start spiraling up, as Rebecca Scritchfield often talks about in her book Body Kindness, and start seeing those changes with family, with friends. And then also the hope is that you can start making these similar changes and having this similar positive self-talk in other areas of your life, whether it's work, relationships, so on and so forth. As I mentioned, I'm also going to leave you in this episode with some journal prompts to get you started and to get you curious on principle 4, challenge the food police. So journal prompt 1 is, what are some beliefs that you have about food and your body? Make a list. An example might be, I'll gain weight if I eat after 6 p.m. 2, where do these beliefs come from? Think about your current environment and the people in it. It might also be helpful to think about your past environment and how you grew up. Were weight and diet discussed frequently when you were growing up? 3, how might you reframe your distorted thoughts based on facts and also nuance instead of black and white thinking? Practice some examples that tend to come up frequently for you. As with this episode, these questions will be posted along with other episode information on my website. You can find information on the episode description, or you can always head over to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast for information on all episodes. I hope this episode got your wheels turning on what your inner food police looks like, what some of those common messages in diet culture are telling you, and how you can start to silence your inner food police today.
That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.